I invite you to remain standing as we pray. Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you as our Creator, our God, and our Savior. We confess that we are sinners and we're only here worshiping you because of your gift of salvation, and we accept that gift, and we thank you so much for allowing us to worship together on this Sabbath day. We ask that your presence would be here in this church as we worship, as we sing, as we celebrate the gift that these children are to us and to this church. And we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Because Jesus loves me, I will always do my best. That is the pledge of the Adventure Club, which was established by the North American Division with several objectives in mind. You've already heard a little bit about that from the students, from the children. The children will, at their own level, commit their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. The second goal, children will gain a positive attitude toward the benefits, joys, and responsibilities of living a Christian life. Goal number three, children will acquire the habits, skills, and knowledge needed to live for Jesus today. And goal number four, parents and other primary caregivers will become more confident and effective as co-laborers with Christ for their children. I think those are incredibly healthy and wonderful goals for the Adventurer Club. And I believe that through the Adventurer Club, that's just one other way that we can help accomplish God's mission on this earth until he returns to take us home to heaven. I also believe that it might be well for all of us to live more like adventurers every single day. And so I hope that by the end of this short presentation, that I can convince you all, if not to join the adventurers and get a uniform and participate, to at least live like an adventurer every day of your life. We're here for this special worship service in which we recognize the special mission of the Adventurer Club. And it was established, and I quote, to assist parents in their important responsibilities as a child's primary teachers and evangelizers. Did you all recognize yourself as an evangelizer? You should. The program aims to strengthen the parent-child relationship and to further the child's development in spiritual, physical, mental, and social areas. Through the Adventurer Program, the church, the home, and school can work together with the parent to develop a mature, happy child. You heard parents mentioned a lot there, and that is by far one of the most important things. And I was so pleased to see the pictures that Director Ligia put up on the screen earlier in the program that showed how many parents were involved in the club at all times. And I was excited to get to join your club last year when we went to Leone Meadows with all the families where they played together, they ate together, and most importantly, they worshiped and praised God together. And it was a beautiful weekend. And as you've already heard, there are elements to every single Adventurer Club meeting that they repeat, including the pledge, which we said, of course, because Jesus loves me, I will always do my best. So my message, Director Alicia asked me if I would prepare this sermon specifically for the children, for the adventurers. And they have kindly and graciously allowed the rest of you to listen in. So welcome. So, adventurers, which part of the pledge do you think is the most important? We always want to do our best. And we often measure success by whether or not we did our best. We even sometimes, sadly, judge people because whether or not we think they did their best. As a teacher in Seventh-day Adventist schools, I had many parent-teacher conferences with families where we talked about whether or not the students were doing their best work in class. But I really would like all of us to focus on the first part of the pledge that says, because Jesus loves me. If all we do is our best, then we don't focus on Jesus' love at all. In fact, there are people everywhere, every day, that are doing their best without even thinking about God or God's love or the Holy Spirit, which enables us to do our best. And it might even make it seem like how we behave is the most important thing. But there is a really, really great Bible verse that I would like to share with you, found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version if you would like to follow along. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there are some fun words in that Bible verse, like beseech. How many of you used the word beseech this week in your normal everyday language? I see no hands. So beseech is like asking, except it's really more than just asking. Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, was begging and pleading with them to not be conformed to this world. And conformed is another big word. Conformed is like, don't let the world change you and let you be something that you shouldn't be. Paul asks us to prove what the perfect will of God is. That's a big task. But there's a phrase in there that we might miss if we don't go back and focus on it. And that phrase is, by the mercies of God. The word mercies is another one of those special words that I wanted to highlight today. The word mercies, I learned, comes from the word merced in Latin, which sounds like Spanish. And in fact, there's a Merced, California, not too far from here. And the word merced means the price paid. So when the Bible verse says, by the mercies of God, it's really saying, in another word, because of the price that God paid. Now that's a really, really big deal when we're talking about trying to prove the perfect will of God. We can't do that. But because of the price God paid through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, everything changes. So this Bible verse, how's that? Is that better? My scarf is in the way today, sorry. So Paul is begging and pleading with us to demonstrate the will of God because of the price he paid to save us. And that's the only way we can really do any of this. So our adventurer pledge is really about doing our best because first and most importantly, Jesus loves us. And that's the main point we want all of our adventurers to be able to tell others about and to learn for themselves. Jesus loves us. We don't want to get it backwards. We really don't want to give off the message from Romans 12 that says we can, we don't want to get it backwards and make people think that we do our best so that Jesus will love us. That would be a shame if we ever shared that message with anyone, especially with our young people. Romans 12 says that we can only serve God and prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God because of the price that he paid for our salvation, his sacrifice on the cross. So if he hadn't done that for us, we wouldn't be able to do anything good at all. Do we all agree that Jesus loves us? Amen. Adventurers, do we want all the grown-ups in the church to know that Jesus loves them? Absolutely. Should we beseech them to know that? I think we should. The adventurer law, you'll see over here on the left-hand side of the stage, your right, it gives us some ideas of the best that we can do. So, for example, be obedient. adventures, I came up with my favorite Bible character for every single one of the steps of the law. And I'm wondering if you have any of your own. When I think of obedience, I think of little Samuel, who he heard God's voice. And the Bible tells us that he learned to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." When I think of being pure, my favorite character is Enoch. The Bible says he was so close to God, he walked with God, and that God took him to live in heaven with him. When I think about being true, I think about brave Queen Esther, that even though telling the truth could lead to her own death, she told the truth anyway, and God saved all her people because of that. When I think about being kind, I think about our vacation Bible school a year ago, that about Ruth and the kindness that she showed to her mother-in-law Naomi, even though Ruth was from another land. When I think about being respectful, I think of Nehemiah, who was respectful of the king of Persia to the extent that he convinced the king to pay for his mission trip to Jerusalem to repair the walls of Jerusalem. When I think about being attentive, I think about Mary, the sister of Martha, who sat and listened at Jesus' feet. When I think about being helpful, of course, we think of the Good Samaritan who helped the injured man when no one else would. Being cheerful, I think of Joseph. Even though his brother sold him into slavery, he found reasons to be cheerful because he knew God was taking care of him. When I think about being thoughtful, my Bible character is King Solomon, who was so thoughtful that when God said, "Ask me for whatever you would," he asked for wisdom instead of riches. And when I think about reverence, be reverent, I think of Simeon, who met the baby Jesus in the temple, and he praised God for allowing him to live long enough to see the Messiah. All of these things that the Bible tells us about, they did these things because Jesus loved them. They didn't feel like they had to behave themselves in order for Jesus to love them. They knew Jesus loved them, and because Jesus loved them, they always did their best. And we want to let Jesus help us to be the same way. And that's why it's so important, adventurers, that you are in the club, because every day you spend time, when you meet, you learn about Jesus, you learn about Jesus' love, and you learn about all the wonderful things that he created for you to enjoy because of that love. Earlier this year, I attended one of those many, many workshops and in-services that I am invited to travel to. My title is Director of Children and Family Ministries and the Director of the Adventure Clubs, but I want you all to know that my attitude, and I hope yours as well, is that I am the head servant to the most important people who are the directors of each local club, because my job is to serve, train, and equip them to take care of the kids. Whose job is more important? It's Leisha's. Let's be clear, because she's with those kids, with her co-directors, every single time they meet, showing them Jesus and transmitting that beautiful love of God. But I do get called to trainings for myself, and one of those meetings, they invited a guest speaker. Her name is Beth Guckenberger, which I thought Van Eiderstein was kind of a wonky name, but Guckenberger, that was a new one for me. She is an American missionary, theologian, not an Adventist, but she studied extensively and worked with her husband, who's also a minister, and they went to Mexico to volunteer on their own, self-funded, to take care of people, I believe, in the eastern, on the Caribbean coast, the Gulf of Mexico coast of Mexico. Over the course of their work, they had some children of their own in Ohio before they left, and then while in Mexico, they fostered and adopted more children. And I don't remember if she said she had 10 or 11. Now, I have 5 of my own, and I am just exhausted, absolutely exhausted. But I love my kids, but I cannot imagine 10 or 11. I can barely remember my own kids' names sometimes. While they were living in Mexico, they became aware of a little boy who had had some serious trauma in his life, and he was an orphan. The living relatives in his life were not suitable caretakers for him, and he was living in an orphanage, and it was rough. And they became convinced that God wanted them to try to adopt him and take him back to Ohio with them. And they knew that they were going to be moving back to Ohio. What they didn't realize is that through circumstances, they were forced to move back to Ohio before the adoption was finalized. And this is another point of trauma for this young child, that here are this family that wants to be his parents and take care of him and love him, and now they're leaving. And so Beth told the story in her presentation that she would very frequently sit with her son and say, "I am your mom. I love you, and I'm coming for you. God has a plan, and we can trust it." And she would tell that message to that boy over and over again. And she'd say, "I know I'm leaving, but don't worry. I'm your mom. I love you. I'm coming for you. God has a plan, and we can trust it." And they said that phrase, and he would repeat it with her often. Once the Guckenbergers were back in Ohio, the only way they could communicate was by phone. And they would call their future son frequently and talk to him. And some days he had good days, and there were days that he was crying on the phone because he was having a hard time. And the orphanage was not an easy place for him to be, separated from the family that he wanted to be with. And before they ended every phone call, she would always say, "I'm your mom. I love you. I'm coming for you. God has a plan, and we can trust it." So finally, the day came when the Guckenbergers traveled back to Mexico for the adoption hearing. And by Mexican law, this boy was old enough that Mexican law required the boy to say out loud, make a verbal statement, that he wished to renounce his homeland and was willingly choosing to be adopted by this family in another country and to move out of Mexico. And this law was passed because of all the incidences of trafficking that they'd had with families taking children out of their country and it not being a good thing. And they wanted to protect the rights of the child. So if a child is old enough, the child had to give that verbal statement. So it came time in the adoption hearing for the young man to give his statement out loud. And when the judge asked him, "Do you wish to go with this family to the United States and be their child?" All the trauma that he'd experienced in the past, it triggered him. And he was unable to speak at all. Now, of course, he could nod his head, but the judge said, "No, you have to give your verbal statement. If you can't, then this adoption cannot happen, and you'll have to go back to the orphanage, and they'll have to go back to Ohio." So Beth, as she related this story, she told about how she and her husband went and sat with him, and they talked, they comforted him, they rubbed his back, and they were trying to encourage him, "It's going to be okay, you can do this." And the boy was so triggered that he still could not speak. Beth even asked the judge, "If he can whisper it in my ear, can I translate for him and tell you what he said? Can you accept that?" And the judge said, "No, the law requires. He has to say it out loud." And the boy still could not speak. This went on for an eternity, Beth says. It was probably only 5 or 10 minutes, but that's a long time when you're sitting there waiting for this ceremony to happen, this hearing to be finalized, and nothing's happening. Finally, the judge said, "It appears the boy is not able to testify for himself, and so I'm going to have to end this hearing, and the boy is going to have to remain in Mexico, and we will not be able to proceed with the adoption." It was finally at that moment, and I don't know how Beth got through telling this story to all of us with a clear voice and a dry eye, because I was on the floor by this point. The only thing the boy was able to say, "I am their son. They love me, and they came for me. God has a plan, and I'm going to trust it." The adoption was finalized, and he was able to move to Ohio with his new family. In the Bible, 1 John 4, 9 through 11 says, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Friends, it's because of God's mercy. It's because of the price God paid for our salvation. It's because we are God's children. He loves us. He's coming for us. God has a plan, and we can trust it. And because Jesus loves us, we will always be able to do our best. So friends, let's all be adventurers today and for eternity.
Can we please all stand to sing our last song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Please remain standing for the benediction, and then after that, please remain standing for the adventurer song. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we praise you for these young people, for the leaders of this club who make this possible. We praise you for your Son who died for us to give us the gift of salvation, and because of the price you paid for us, Lord, we praise you for the ability to do our very best for you. So we pray a blessing on this club, on these young people, and on this church. We ask for us to be able to transmit that message of your love to everyone with whom we come in contact. And we pray a blessing on this Sabbath day, and pray for everyone that as they go out from here, that they will be willing and joyful ambassadors for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Remain sitting for the ushers to guide you out.